Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts 10. Acts 10 and verse 43. Tonight, we're going to look at something. I was passed along a link to a message back. This message by someone was preached on February 5th of this year. And it deals with how people in the Old Testament were saved. And this one doing the message said that Jesus and the gospel was hidden behind a curtain throughout the Old Testament. And so I did a rather lengthy response to it. My original response was 14 pages, and I've added a couple since then, thinking about it more. But I didn't know anyone else. That some of you have, since that time, have also listened to that message. And if you want my notes, I've passed them along to some of you. But if you want my notes, I can do a PDF and just give them to you. But the seriousness I see about this message it was preached is, the basic premise of it is that Jesus, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was all hidden to people in the Old Testament. There was no way for them to know to call upon the name of the Lord. And so they had to be saved some other way. And so the one preaching this message stated, well, the way they were saved, he insisted at the beginning that he believes that saints in the Old Testament were saved by faith, but it was not faith in the sacrifice to come. It was not faith in the Messiah to come. He put forth that they were saved by faith, like with Abraham. God told him to leave his land, and so this person believes that Abraham, by faith, left his land, and that was the faith required, and he was saved. There's one thing missing, the blood. There's no blood. And then he put forth with the ark. He said, well, Noah, by faith, built the ark. He did build it by faith. But he puts forth, Noah had no way of knowing about Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. So Noah, moved with fear, built the ark, and by faith, he was saved. But the problem is you don't get to heaven through an ark. You only get to heaven through the blood. Once again, that was a bloodless plan of salvation. So this is a very serious error, very serious. So I want to go through it with you. And as I said, if you would like all of my notes on it, I'd be happy to send them to you, PDF. But I was not going to deal with it. As I said, I received this back in February, and I did this long thing on it, but I did not respond at that time to the person who preached the message because I thought this person is not in our area, and I'm not going to get into it. But now more of you are aware of that message and have listened to that message, so I am. I have not yet, but I am going to send all my notes to this person because it is. It's a very, very serious error. Okay, Acts 10:43. And Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Acts 10:43. If a person can just get this verse down, it's simple, and just believe it, there shouldn't even be a question on this. But Acts 10:43. To him. Okay. Who? Well, let's back up. Verse 38. How God anointed who? Jesus of Nazareth. with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they, what? Slew and hanged, what? On a tree. So we're still talking about Jesus. Said his name, verse 38. Verse 39, we're still talking about him. Verse 40, him, who's the him? Jesus. Him, God, what? Raised up the third day. Wow, this sounds like the gospel, doesn't it? Death. Resurrection. Him, God, raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, who's the he? Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him, who's the him? Jesus. To him, Jesus, give who? All the prophets. What did you just say? All the prophets. Are you sure it says that? What does it say? All the prophets. To him, Jesus, give all the prophets witness. Witness of what? That through what? His name. Whosoever what? Believeth in him shall what? Receive remission of sins. Verse 43, you look at the context, it's Jesus. To him give all the prophets witness. Every prophet gives witness to Jesus, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now, to say there's some other way of salvation in the Old Testament is to flat out deny what this clearly says. Now, it seems like the people that I've run into that have this idea that, okay, people in the Old Testament were saved by something different than us. And then the same people oftentimes will say tribulation saints are also going to be saved a different way. And then they often say millennial saints are going to be saved a different way. And many of these people, these same people, teach that Old Testament saints did not have eternal security. They teach that people in the Old Testament could lose their salvation, and they also teach that people in the tribulation period can lose their salvation. Now, that is utter confusion, and that is utterly false. And I hope you'll see that here tonight. This is one quote from this message. It says, the problem with this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, for the Old Testament saints, and then in parentheses, no one had ever seen him. So how then could they believe on Jesus if they had never seen him? Or never heard of him? Okay, well, if they couldn't believe on Jesus because they had never seen him, we're in the same boat, are we not? Yes. Look, please, at John 20, 28. John 20, 28. John 20, 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast what? Believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet what? Have believed. It's Jesus himself speaking. And he says, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. So, the Old Testament saints didn't see Jesus. Well, we haven't seen Jesus, but we believe. Notice with me in 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter 1, 7. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom, what? Having not seen, ye what? Ye love. In whom, though now ye what? See him not, yet what? Believing. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even what? The salvation of your souls. We've never seen him. And yet by faith we have loved him. We have received him. And this, by faith, is verse 9. This is the salvation of our souls. But we have never seen Jesus. You don't have to see him with your physical eyes to believe and to be saved. So it goes right back to Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness. All the prophets witness of him. Now, these verses refer to seeing Jesus in the flesh. But the statement that the speaker makes about the Old Testament people did not see Jesus is not true, because several of them saw the pre-incarnate Christ. Now, what does incarnate means? It means made flesh. There were people in the Old Testament that saw the pre-incarnate Christ, the pre-incarnate Savior, the pre-flesh Savior. In other words, Jesus appeared to some people in the Old Testament in a bodily form, even though he did not have his earthly body yet through Mary. One of those people was Abraham. Let's look at Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Now, the speaker talks about how Abraham was saved, and that, you know, well, he had to get saved by faith obeying God because he never saw the Lord. That is not true. Abraham did see the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, in a bodily form. Genesis 18:1. And the who? The Lord. Do you notice the word Lord is in small caps? The L is full size, but then O-R-D is in small caps. And that's Jehovah. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. So Abraham is seen, suddenly sees these three men that have appeared to him. And one is the Lord. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. So he offers hospitality, he offers to feed him. And so the Lord, and what we're going to see are two angels. So the three of them are the Lord and two angels. They all eat his food. So in his pre-incarnate form, he could eat. So could the angels. Angels are spirit beings. Angels do not have bodies of flesh like we have, but they can appear in a body, and they can do the things, at least eating, they can do what we do. They can eat, and these angels did. In fact, in the next chapter, they're going to go to Lot's house and eat again. In verse 13, then, Genesis 18:13, and who? The Lord said unto Abraham, so he's right there in a bodily form and has eaten food before him. The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for who? The Lord. And he's standing right there. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And then look down with me, please, to verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. So these are the other two, and we're going to see in the next chapter they're angels. The men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before who? Lord. He is looking at the pre-incarnate Savior right here, the Lord. Verse 33. And who? The Lord went his way. As soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place, then chapter 19, verse 1, and there came two, what? Angels to Sodom at even. So those were the two that had left back in verse 22 of the previous chapter. And so we're told there that those two are angels. So the Lord and two angels came to visit Abraham. So when it comes to making a blanket statement saying no one in the Old Testament saw the Lord, that is not true. Abraham did. We could go to other passages as well. Daniel did. Daniel saw the Son of Man in the Ancient of Days. But I'll just let this suffice on that matter. So the fact of the matter is this, though. Even when Jesus was standing on the earth, and so we're talking about those people who saw Jesus in his physical, in his body of flesh, we're only talking about people who lived in a 30-plus year span out of all of history. Only people who lived in that 30-plus years, that frame. They're the only ones that saw Jesus in his body of flesh, his earthly body of flesh. But did that not take faith even then? Notice in John 6:35. Was it really so easy to accept Jesus for who he said he is? Well, the fact of the matter is, no. In John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have what? Seen me and what? Believe not. Was it easy to see this one in a body of flesh and acknowledge this is Almighty God in the flesh? Would that have been easy? No, it still took faith. Jesus himself said, ye also have seen me and believe not. Why? Well, Isaiah 53:2. Isaiah 53:2. So sometimes people say, oh, you know, the only ones who were saved by believing on the Lord, calling upon him right there, was those who could see him in the flesh. Isaiah 53:2. This is prophesying of Jesus. And it says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no what? Form nor what? Comeliness, that we shall, and when we shall see him, there is no what? No beauty that we should desire him. You stop and think of this. It says he had no form nor comeliness. Now, what do you picture in a man that is handsome? What kind of jaw? What kind of cheek features? Eyes? Nose? What does a man have to before you personally would consider that as a handsome form? But it says here, he hath no form nor comeliness. So God did not, when Jesus was born in Mary's womb, formed in Mary's womb, he did not make Jesus a body of just the perfect looking man. He was not. It says, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So when people were looking for the Messiah, they would have never guessed it was him. Never. He didn't have the look. You know, we read that a lot of people vote for presidents based upon their looks. Well, Maybe that's why a lot of people didn't believe on Jesus, because it was hard to believe that this is God in the flesh. He doesn't look like God. In fact, he doesn't even look handsome. He doesn't even, comely means handsome. Or as it says here, no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3 says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. If somebody doesn't esteem you, they don't hold you in a high regard. And so the fact of the matter is he did not look like God. He just looked like a man. And maybe by the language here, maybe someone would say he's a homely guy. You know what? It took faith to believe that this man was God in the flesh. It took faith. So then the speaker goes on to say, so he said, I'm quoting from him, the problem with this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, for the Old Testament saints is they had never, how could they believe on him when they'd never seen him and never heard him? Well, oh, excuse me, I misquoted that. Never heard of him. That's an important mistake there. Never heard of him. So they never heard of the Savior who was going to come and die for our sins. Well, there's only been one way to ever be saved, and it's to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. The point is this. Another point is this. Listen, if there was another way to be saved in the Old Testament, if God just had to tell you to do something and you would do it, like, what if God told you, I want you to build a boat in your backyard, and you by faith do it? Does that mean you're saved? Does that mean your sins are forgiven? No. Where's the blood? 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you what? The gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are what? See, if there was a way to be saved in the Old Testament without knowing about Jesus, without knowing about the Messiah who would die and rise again, if there was a way in the Old Testament to be saved without knowing anything about that, then Jesus died in vain. If there was a way to be saved without him going through all that, then Jesus died in vain. He didn't have to, if you could be saved without it. But verse 2 says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, what? Died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was what? Buried. And that he what? Rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now this gospel, this is the gospel. This gospel is said to be everlasting. So God is everlasting. Are you going to say, oh, well, that just applies to you right now? No, everlasting. God has always been the same in eternity past, and he always will be the same in eternity future. Well, the gospel is said to be everlasting. Look with me, please, in Revelation 14. Revelation 14, 6. Now, as I said, many people who hold to these views have some connection somehow, maybe not directly, but maybe indirectly, to a man named Peter Ruckman. He had a church in Florida. The man died some years ago, not too many years ago, but people who have a connection to Peter Ruckman, he taught that people were saved in the Old Testament a different way. People in the tribulation are saved a different way. And it seems like the problem is Peter Ruckman was a strong defender of the King James Bible. And many people admired him for that fact, but because of that fact, they were drawn away in other things that he said. They were not Acts 17:11 Christians, and so they were led astray by other things. But Revelation 14:6 says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the what? Everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." The gospel is everlasting. There's never been another way to be saved, and there never will be another way to be saved. It's always been through the blood of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is extremely important because this is in the tribulation period. We just read that. This angel is preaching the everlasting gospel. It's the gospel that's never changed. This verse alone would prove that there's not a different way to be saved in the tribulation period. Look with me in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5 and verse 9. Revelation 5, 9. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast what? Slain. And hast redeemed us to God by what? Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." These are people who died in the tribulation period. And what is their testimony? Their testimony is, we were saved by the blood. Saved by the blood. Of the Messiah. So the gospel is everlasting. There's always been only one true gospel. Notice in Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians 1, 6. Another point is this. This matter of sin and forgiveness, this matter is not up to God to say, I think in the Old Testament, I'll have you do 10 laps around a lake to be saved. And in the New Testament, I think I'll have you, how about driving a Corvette 100 miles? God is holy. The plan of salvation was not up to God to say, I think I'll have these people do it this way in these years, and in these years I think I'll have them get saved this way, and in these years I think I'll have them do it that way. The wages of sin is what? Death. That is the wage of sin. It's death. God is holy, and if he would have done it any other way, it wouldn't have been forgiving sins. It wouldn't have been truly paying for those sins. In Galatians 1:6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto what? Another gospel, which is what? Not another. But there be some that trouble you and would what? Pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? A curse." That's pretty strong. But just in case we didn't get it, verse 9, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be what? A curse." Listen, there is only one gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So this is a serious warning for us. If we start preaching that there is another gospel, listen, if I start preaching there was another way to be saved in the Old Testament, then what I'm preaching is a false gospel. I'm preaching that Christ died in vain then. If there was another way to be saved, would you give your son to die if there was another way for people to be saved? No. No, you would not. So the speaker goes on here. It said in Noah's case, the way he got saved was he believed something not seen. How many of you believe that there are streets of gold in heaven? Okay. How many of you believe you can be saved by believing there are streets of gold in heaven? No. What's missing? The blood. The blood. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is not believing there's a gold street in heaven. He goes on to say Abraham's case, believe God. Not knowing, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. We moved to Chattanooga at one point in our lives. And I guess I didn't know where I was going because I got in the city and got lost. And three little boys on a street corner said, Yankee, go home. Did I get saved by going somewhere where I didn't know where I was going? No, they didn't save me. This speaker, I quote the speaker once again, Old Testament saints, a man is saved when, by faith, he takes action on what God has told him to do. Leave your land? Build an ark? No, that does not save a person. Romans 6:23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. How did Abraham leaving Ur of the Chaldees satisfy this requirement? The wages of sin is death. It did not. How did Noah building an ark satisfy this requirement? It did not. So this is a very serious thing. It's teaching a bloodless gospel, a bloodless gospel. Now, did the Old Testament saints really know that it took a blood sacrifice to cover sin and just to cover sin and in the future of the Messiah to take it away? Look in Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17, verse 11. Leviticus 17, 11. The Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for what? Souls. Your souls, for it is what? The blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. These people knew that. Let's go back even further to Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 9. Genesis 3:9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was what? Naked, and I hid myself. And then he goes on, you know, who told you you're naked? And so they find out the sin here. And then in verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make what? Coats of skins and clothed them. Now they tried to clothe themselves in leaves. The question is, why did God clothe them in animal skins? That was not a requirement through all of time. When God ordained the priesthood, did he ordain that the priest wear animal skins? I mean, are we sinning because we're wearing cotton, something that grows out of the ground? I mean, should all of us be wearing animal skins? Should all of us be wearing leather and fur off from an animal? No. So this wasn't a requirement of what man had to continue to wear. But do you realize what God did here? They had just sinned. And God had to kill animals to clothe them. Now, I want you to stop and think. You know, you may say, big deal, you know. Dress out a deer, you know, no big deal. Many of you have done that many times. You have to remember that Adam and Eve had never seen an animal killed. Animals were not vicious to one another. It was only after the flood that animals and man would now be eating meat. Before that, the animals ate the herb of the field. And we don't have a lot of time here, but here in Genesis 1:29, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat." Verse 30, "And to every what? Beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every what? Green herb for meat." And it was so. Animals did not eat meat. No, tigers didn't. Lions didn't. No animal was a meat eater until after the flood. Man was not a meat eater until after the flood. So when God had to kill animals, how many of you have pets? Had or have pets? Okay. How many of you do you think would be affected a little bit emotionally to tears if your pet, if someone killed your pet right before your eyes, skinned it, and tried to put that skin on you? How many of you think you'd be a little emotional? Yeah. I mean, I imagine that Adam and Eve, I just imagine the tears were just flowing. You got to remember, they were not hunters. And when they saw God have to kill, what animal did he kill? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised it was sheep, but it does not say, so I'm not saying it was, but that would have been the perfect picture for the Lamb of God later on coming. So I imagine it probably was, but I can't say that for certain. But can you imagine God right before your eyes killing, I'll just say a lamb, and skinning that thing and making you a coat? In your mind, you would keep picturing what? The blood. You had never seen an animal killed and the blood flow. Do you think Jesus did not explain this to them? He did. Well, we're out of time here tonight, but I do want to cover just one more verse, and that's Hebrews 10:4. Hebrews 10:4. Hebrews 10:4. And it says here, "For it is not possible that the blood of what? Bulls and goats should take away sins." This fact would be known, and I'll show you in further verses on different nights, Lord willing. But these Old Testament saints knew this, that it was a covering. You know, even animal skins doesn't last forever. Even a leather coat doesn't last forever. After a while, it dries out, it cracks, it breaks. So this covering, Adam and Eve would have understood, this was a temporary covering, and God would have explained it to them. Because I'll show you next time, Lord willing, where the gospel was preached to Abraham. So Hebrews 10:4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. And I'll show you next time how, yes, they did know that these animal sacrifices were not the payment for their sin, only the covering. It's illustrated by a check. You write a check. That's not money. That is just a piece of paper. And a check is not even as expensive a paper as a dollar bill, $5 bill, $20 bill. It's not that texture, that variety at all. They knew that this was only temporary, that the real payment was coming. So as I said, if you want a copy of my notes, I'll be happy to get them to you. But we've just got to get this down in our mind. This is not a little matter. If we're teaching that there's another way to be saved, then the bottom line is that Jesus died in vain. He died for nothing if there was another way to be saved. Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice, your great love to lay down your life for us. And Lord, we realize that that great sacrifice would be in vain if there was any other way to be saved, then it was all in vain. It was not necessary, but we know that it was necessary. So Lord, please help us. Help us not to be led astray by our lack of understanding in some way. Help us to understand the importance of this. We pray in Jesus' name.